ask for help, we'll overcome. In a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
There's a whole lot of committed Christians out there on the campaign trail these days. What do you think, Christy?
Oh, yeah, super committed.
Yeah. Of course, we don't know. You know, they may be, some may be, some may not. But
right,
just judging by what they say,
uh-huh,
whole lot of committed Christians out there. It's interesting, the religious, you know, rhetoric that you hear during a presidential election. I think you're hearing it more this go-round than before.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You got any idea why? I mean, I haven't taken a poll, but, you know, a lot of folk concerned about religious freedom, things like that.
Right. Well, I think a lot of people are dissatisfied with the current state of politics, and
yeah,
maybe probably Obama, and they want they want something new, and all the evangelical Christians want a Christian. That's
yeah,
usually their main criterion
yeah,
for choosing a candidate. And
that's
so
exactly right.
The fact that we have lots of committed Christians is just evidence of that.
Yeah. A lot of Christians stayed home last presidential election, just didn't show up.
Right.
But, you know, they showed up in Iowa.
They did.
60-some-odd percent of the voters there, 64, 67%, something like that. Evangelical Christians, self-identified at least. And,
yes,
you know, that's part of it. They want a Christian. And so the candidates, they know that, at least on the Republican side. And
uh-huh,
you know, on the Democratic side, it's funny. They're you know, Bernie and Hillary, they're both trying to convince the voters that I'm the more liberal, you know, but I'm the more progressive. But
right,
not so on the Republican side. You know, they're trying to convince the folk how conservative they are,
right,
and how religious they are. It's funny. Politico posted a story a couple of days ago talking about Donald Trump. And we just start with him.
Okay.
Trump's the story. I don't know if y'all can hear that, but just ignore it. Pay no attention to the text, you know, on my cell phone. I forgot to cut it off, so we might hear these little text noises, right, throughout the
right
broadcast. That's okay.
Well, that's not true. It is cut off. It just doesn't turn off the sound for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, it's on silence, but it's still...
But it still makes noise.
Yeah. So, love that cell phone. Got to get a new one someday. But anyway, it works. That's all
yeah,
I can tell you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. That's right. But Politico posted this story a couple of days ago about Trump and religion, and you know, they cited an interview that he did with CBN. Just going to read you. I'm sorry to laugh even before I read this. You know, again, this is not a slam fest. We're going to make some, you know, Christian points here. But just listen to Trump. He says, I believe in God. I'm a Christian. I think the Bible is certainly, it is the book. So Trump, you know, I think he said in another on another occasion the Bible's his favorite book.
Oh, well, that's great.
Somebody asked him what his favorite verse was. He couldn't cite one. But anyway, it's his favorite book, that's for sure.
Wow. His advisors should have helped him
out
on that one.
I know. He says, I'm a Protestant. I'm a Presbyterian. And, you know, I've had a good relationship with the church over the years. I mean, that's so Trump, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, we're used to the way he answers questions now.
Right.
You know, I've had a good relationship with the church over the years. I think religion's a wonderful thing.
I like Fox. We have a good relationship.
Yeah.
I like Ted Cruz. We have a good relationship.
Yeah.
He says that sometimes.
He does. He
says
that.
And then he slams him.
I don't know if he's saying it now, but yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's slamming him now. He says, I think religion is a wonderful thing. I think my religion's a wonderful religion. It's the best.
Oh, great.
He didn't say that, but I mean, that's where he's got, it's the best.
Right.
How wonderful is it? So wonderful. The best. I mean, anyway. He was asked whether or not he keeps a lot of Bibles. You know, that was an interesting thing as well. He, listen to this. He says, well, I get sent Bibles by a lot of people. we keep them at a certain place, a very nice place.
Oh, of course.
It's so funny. I don't know. I'm sorry to laugh at that, just the way he talks.
It's funny.
He says, but people send me Bibles. You know, it's very interesting. I get so much mail. And because I'm in this incredible location in Manhattan, you can't keep most of the mail you get. There's no way I would ever throw anything, you know, to do anything negative to a Bible. So what we do is we keep all of the Bibles.
Sounds reasonable.
And then he says, I would have a fear of doing something other, you know, than very positive. So actually I store them and keep them and sometimes give them away to other people. But I do get sent a lot of Bibles, and I like that. I think that's great.
Oh, that is great. Way to go, Donald Trump.
That's right. Forgive me. Excuse me. But, yeah, it's just interesting the way he's talking about these things. He's trying his best. I mean, he's trying.
Uh-huh.
Can we give him an A for effort?
It's not much of an effort. All he does is just say, oh, I like that. That's very good. He says that about a lot of things.
Yeah. We keep the Bibles, though, at a very nice place. You know, we throw a lot of stuff away, but I wouldn't throw the Bibles away. I'd be afraid to.
Right. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
God's going to zap him.
I guess. Something like that. So he says he goes to church, listen to this, as much as I can. Always on Christmas, always on Easter, always when there's a major, you know, occasion, and during the Sundays. I'm a Sunday church person. I go when I can.
Oh, right, during the Sundays.
During the Sundays.
That's very specific.
I'm sorry, I can't help it. Forgive me. It's, okay, rhetoric, that's what we're talking about here. Now, we're going to, like I said, we're going to make some points here, but I don't know. He's trying really hard to convince people he's a Christian, and he loves the Bible, and keeps them in a safe place, and he's a churchgoer, so that's good. But you got a lot of political religious rhetoric out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think of Jerry Falwell Jr.'s endorsement of Donald Trump.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Have you heard this?
Uh-huh.
What do you think about it?
I don't know.
You don't have a comment?
Not really.
You know, I'm not going to read the whole quote, but...
We talk about Jerry Falwell Jr. a lot on the broadcast sometimes. Not a lot, but we have before.
Yeah, you know, recently. The whole gun control thing.
Right.
You know, he got into it with Piper a little bit, John Piper. That was pretty interesting. But, you know, I'm not going to quote the whole ad. He's got an endorsement. You know, Jerry Falwell Jr. is endorsing Trump.
Uh-huh.
And he's got this ad. And in the middle of it, he says, Matthew 7:16 tells us, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, what's that verse about, just before we go on?
You will know who are the true followers of Jesus by the fruits
that they do. That's exactly right. That's right. That's what the verse is about. We're going to know who truly loves the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, by their fruits you shall know them. Donald Trump's life has borne fruit. Fruit that has provided jobs to multitudes of people. Now, I know in the context of a political endorsement, you know, to be fair, he did say on the front end, you know, Donald Trump reminds me of my dad. My dad would say what he believed in public. He wouldn't back down. And he also taught me that when he went into that voting booth, he wasn't voting for a pastor in chief. You know, he wasn't voting for someone who held his theological convictions. He was voting for someone who could essentially run the country.
Right.
And so it's in the context, I think, that he's using that verse. You
but
know,
that's taking that verse out of context.
Well, exactly. You want to run with that for a minute or just, I mean, but that's exactly right. So, you know, I'm trying to be fair on the one hand, but on the other, yeah, you're taking the verse out of context because it gets worse, though. Because a little bit later he says this, in my opinion, Donald Trump lives a life of loving and helping others as Jesus taught in the Great Commandment.
Wait, what's the
love
the,
God with all your heart, soul, rule? Mind, and strength. Oh, no, you know, the Great Commandment. Love the Lord your God and then love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, in my opinion, Donald Trump lives a life of loving and helping others as Jesus taught in the Great Commandment.
The Great Commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Right. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself, right?
Well, Donald Trump is not living a life according to the first part of and most important part of the Great Commandment.
Well, I know, and this is my issue with Falwell's ad. I mean, he's using these verses. He don't want to try to say, okay, he's taking them out of context and he's applying them to, you know, political slash business fruit. And yet, when he gets to the end, he really is saying he believes Donald Trump is a Christian, a follower of Christ.
Right.
Whether he meant to or not, I don't know.
Well, that is what he's saying.
Yeah. political rhetoric. I mean, is this a good thing?
I think it's just confusing people.
It is confusing. And you're trying, see, you're, what you're trying to do is use this language, right?
To get more votes.
To get that evangelical vote. That's the whole point.
That's politics.
That's politics. That's pandering.
Yes.
Selectioneering.
But that's what they do. So, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Why are we upset about that?
Well, I don't know that I'm upset. I guess I'm upset at Jerry Falwell Jr. to a certain degree.
Mm.
I mean, Trump's Trump. He's gonna be Trump.
Right.
That's what he does. Yeah, he could do a Geico commercial, you know. He says whatever he needs to say. But anyway, the point, I think the point for the believer, the point that we would like to make, there's a lot of points. We're gonna get to those points. But I think one of the points that I would make is that, you know, on the one hand, we Christians need to realize that all of the candidates, not just Donald Trump, because I'm going to give you some quotes from a couple of the other candidates. Right now, we've got three front runners. We got Trump, we got Ted Cruz, and we got Marco Rubio.
Right.
So I'm going to deal with those three. And again, I'm not going to say whether or not, you know, Ted Cruz is a genuine believer. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds like a believer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to comment on, you know, Marco Rubio. I don't know. Haven't done the research. And again, I can't look on the heart. I will say that the verse that Jerry Falwell Jr. quoted in Matthew is exactly right. By their fruit you shall know them. So, you know, based on that, I would say Donald Trump's not a believer. He's not a Christian.
Right.
Now, some people might think, okay, he's not a Christian. I still think he'd be a good president. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not supporting him, but... You know, what I want for Christians is not to be fooled by the rhetoric.
Right.
There's so many, you know, things that candidates say. These are trained professionals. They're trained politicians. And they say things to this particular group over here in order to get their vote.
Mm-hmm.
They say something else, perhaps, to this group over here in order to get their vote. Maybe they're contradictory, maybe they're not. But the emphasis is certainly different. And they dial up that rhetoric. They take polls on the words. That's politics.
Yes.
But I just want Christians to think, a lot of Christians, they hear a candidate say, I'm a Christian, or say Christian things, and they automatically think, oh, he's a Christian. He would be a great...
president.
Yeah. That's my point. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, as long as they're willing to say, I'm pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind, they don't do anything about it. You know, as long as they're willing to say, I love Jesus. Right? You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I just think we need to be careful. And we'll make some other points on the other side of the break. Sound good?
Sounds good.
We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Can't just care that your kids believe the truth just for the truth's sake. They have to see that it is connected with reality. It's connected with life. God has a plan for them now.
That's David Eaton of Axis talking about equipping kids biblically to affect culture eternally. Join Trace Embry and me, Rich Rosel, as we talk with David next time on License to Parent.
License to Parent every Monday at 11 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Did you know there are more cell phones in the United States than our entire population? That means chances are you have a cell phone. But what do you do when it doesn't work properly? Maybe the face is cracked, or the camera stopped working, or the speakers don't sound right, or it won't charge. Well, you can fight your way through traffic to a repair shop and sit there for an hour or more while they fix it, or you can call a trusted expert to come to you. Chris Larson is a certified tech with Mobile Cell Repairs, and he'll come to your location and fix your cell phone in less than an hour at a price you can afford. Go to mobilecellrepairs.com and check him out, or call Chris now for an appointment at 864-420-4563. Have your device repaired where you are, when you want. And remember, quality is always the top priority. Mobile Cell Repairs.
You are never too old to grow in your faith.
The golden years. It's a great period of life to experience God.
And the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove in Asheville invites you to experience God. There are hymn sings and seminars planned for folks just like us. There are also beautiful mountain surroundings, rocking chair porches, and delicious meals. Whether you come for one day or a few, senior events at the Cove are times of renewal, encouragement, and Christian fellowship. All the details are at thecove.org. That's thecove.org.
We're Christian Talk 660.
That music so much, I wasn't sure I wanted to come back in.
Oh, yeah, I was just jamming out.
I can see that.
Oh, sorry.
Everybody's talking about Jesus.
Yep.
The campaign trail. Well, we've been talking about Donald Trump, Jerry Falwell Jr. Let's talk about Ted Cruz for a minute.
Sounds good.
Just want to get a quote in. Want to get a quote in from Rubio, then we're going to kind of, okay, let's do some analysis here. Okay.
Okay.
Now, on the one hand, Ted Cruz doesn't fall in the same category as Donald Trump. Religiously speaking, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But you know, a couple of interesting quotes recently. In fact, I heard, I mean, he started using this same kind of language in different contexts. I even heard it today.
Mm.
But this is an interview, and I pulled this out of Patheos. He says, we have a prayer team of people all across the country that are lifting the country up in prayer. Now, you know what? That's fine.
That's good.
We need to be praying for our country and our political leaders. He says, and every day I ask the people to stand on the promises of 2 Chronicles 7:14. Now, we're going to come back to 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Oh, boy.
Okay? Yeah, because I'm going to ask about that. I'm going to get your opinion.
Okay.
All right. We believe 2 Chronicles 7:14, but I'm going to ask you. So he's asking the people to stand on those promises and to lift this country up in prayer. And listen to this. He says, there is an awakening. There is a spirit of revival. I see it every day. It is sweeping this country. Now, again, not to be overly critical, but Jerry Falwell Jr. is using scripture out of context. I mean, do you see a revival, a spiritual awakening sweeping across the country?
I see.
Go ahead.
I see what might be considered to some people to be a spiritual revival.
Okay.
Because.
Is it the same thing Ted Cruz is talking about, or are you talking about something else?
I'm not sure. I think maybe he might think that there's a spiritual revival going on because there are plenty of mega churches growing and growing and growing and growing.
Right.
And that might be considered a spiritual revival. But the reality is that even if all of these churches are growing, we don't know that any of them are actually Christian.
Right. Well, and that's true. We did a broadcast not too long ago, or maybe I was just talking about it with someone else. I can't remember. I just talk all the time. But there are more and more, more and more mega churches, as you say, but the attendance at the mega churches is in decline.
Okay.
Rapid decline. So there's a problem there. More and more people across the country, by every poll that's come out, less and less religious. You know, that's across the board.
Which depends on who you ask.
But I think that's true.
So but, I don't know that he's right.
Well, I don't think he's right. He's certainly not right. I don't think there's a revival going on in America right now, particularly or an awakening if you read the history books like the First Great Awakening. Nothing like that is happening. I'm not saying it couldn't happen tomorrow. Because a genuine spiritual awakening is a result of the sovereign grace of God.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And it could happen. And I'm praying for it. We as a church pray for it.
Yes.
But what Ted Cruz is talking about is what he calls revival and a spiritual awakening is all the people who are supporting him as a political candidate. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the evangelicals who are turning out in support of him. He's talking about, you know, the fact that people are coming out and they want conservative values and they want religious freedom. He's equating that with revival. Now, whether or not he really believes that, I don't know, but that's where he's coming from.
Okay.
And so what I'm saying is, in the same way that Jerry Falwell Jr. is taking certain scripture verses out of context, Ted Cruz is doing the same thing. It's a lot more subtle. Maybe he doesn't even realize it. But he's using this language that resonates with the average evangelical mm-hmm. in the pew. And I'm not sure the average evangelical is that discerning these days.
Well, that's my...
And again, I'm not saying I'm super smart. I'm here, but, you know, God's called me to be a teacher, so I'm teaching.
Right. That's why everyone is... Well, all not all, but most of the evangelical Christians are in support of Ted Cruz, is because he says what they want to hear.
Right. And see, this whole business about 2 Chronicles 7:14, let me just read it. Most people are familiar with it who are evangelicals. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Hmm.
Now,
yeah.
He's saying, I'm asking the people to stand on the promises of 2 Chronicles 7:14. Well, who are those promises
right.
to? America?
No. Those promises are to Israel, God's people, Israel.
That's right.
And so many people, I see it all the time with people that I hang out with and people who I don't, just people that I talk to every day, and they will say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They'll talk about 2 Chronicles 7:14 and how God will, you know, there's verses about he'll make a nation great that's, you know, stands on his promises or something like that. I'm like combining a bunch
no,
of verses
I understand.
Together. But the thing is, those verses are written to the national Israel,
mm-hmm.
to a specific people.
Right.
And my problem with people applying this to America is it's like we're trying to put America in the place of Israel.
Right. Is America the people of God?
America is not the people of God. The people of God is his people, the believers.
That's right. So in context, if my people who are called by my name, that's ancient Israel, Old Covenant Israel,
yes.
I will heal their land.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with the land of the United States.
Right.
What? And you just said it, but go ahead.
We can apply this verse to our lives. But it's not applied to America. It's
right.
applied to us as Christians.
Yes.
If we call him by name and humble ourselves and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear us and forgive us.
Yes. And heal our land.
And heal our land.
But that's not what is our land in a Christian context?
It's not a physical land.
It's a spiritual dynamic. That's right. He's going to heal the church. He's going to revive the church.
Right.
And the church is going to be more committed to Christ and will do more worship and more holiness and more evangelism.
Right.
And then maybe that'll spread across the country. But, again, these are not promises to America, as you've said.
Right. Well, and then even if you wanted to interpret it as a physical thing, if you had a dispensational viewpoint, that still wouldn't apply to America. That would
right.
apply to Israel later in the future.
Exactly.
So no way you read it. Could it be America? Maybe?
That's exactly right. All right. We got to move on. Ted Cruz, let me just a couple more lines, then I got to move to Rubio. He says, I fear for America. If we keep on this path, there comes a point of no return. And my prayer is that this awakening continues.
Mm.
Again, using spiritual language for political dynamic.
Right.
And then he says this, I pray that this awakening continue, that the body of Christ would rise up to pull us back from the abyss. I listen to people every day who are so desperate. Please help us save this country.
Mm.
That's what they're saying. Please help us save this country. So now, wow. See, here's people looking at an individual as a savior. I mean, it's a lot more complicated than that. We'll talk about that on future broadcasts. But here's what Ted Cruz said. I'm convinced that God is not done with America. We're going to, together, with God's blessings and grace, pull America back from the abyss. And it is this election that makes the difference. You see that?
Right.
So the way to pull America back from the abyss is to elect me president.
Right.
Not to preach the gospel, but to elect me president.
To elect me president. And just the fact that he says I'm convinced that God is not done with America.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's true, but just the way it's set up kind of makes it seem like America is the city on the hill.
Yeah, which is not.
Which is not biblical.
The church is.
Right.
Yeah. All right, got to move to Marco Rubio, because we're going to run out of time.
Hmm.
The last debate, you remember this moment,
yes,
Brett
yes.
Baer asked him a question about the cover of Time, and Rubio is referred to perhaps as the Republican savior.
Yes.
And Rubio, deadly serious, looks into the camera. Let me be clear about one thing. There's only one savior, and it's not me. It's Jesus Christ who came down to earth and died for our sins.
Right. And people loved that.
They did.
My friends talk about it. Oh, I really like what Marco Rubio said in the debate the other day, that Jesus Christ is a savior. And yes, I'm glad that he said that, but... They're falling into his trap.
Yes.
Because that's what he wants.
He's
you.
Like a Venus flytrap.
Oh, man. He wants you to vote for him because he said that. But
that's
that right. cannot be your only criterion for electing a president.
True. True. But here's the thing, too. And I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I don't care. Okay?
All right.
I mean, yes, I agree. There's only one Savior, Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
But,
I love amen but, that statement.
But it was a stupid statement. In that context.
Yeah, yes.
Because everybody and their brother knows the cover of Time, the Republican Savior. We weren't talking about a religious
right.
or a spiritual savior. We were talking in the context, is Rubio the answer to the Republican Party's problems? You know, the infighting, the establishment versus the conservatives. And so, you know, Rubio takes this opportunity to do what? To pander.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and here's my problem as a Christian. I do not want to be pandered to.
Right.
You know, listen, do I care whether or not you're a Christian? Yes, I do. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be a Christian for me to vote for you. And again, we'll have more discussion on that at a future date.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want you to, you know, play that card. You know, it's like playing the race card.
Right.
Don't play the card every time you're in front of me. I just want to know, you know, are you going to protect my liberty?
Right.
And see, you know, this is some of the analysis I wanted to get into. And you can see I've actually got notes.
Yes, I know.
And then here they are.
Well, people might not know that, but
we have
the notes.
That's what I'm saying. We're finally getting to the analysis, and we're out of time, but at least the folk know the main point we're trying to make. But, you know, what should we think about all this religious rhetoric? I mean, pandering, I don't like it. I don't know if you had anything to add. I mean, we could have talked a long time about that.
You need
that.
To look past the rhetoric and think about the issues.
Yeah. That's right. You know, how much time do we have, Gary? Oh, only 1 minute. You know, as I look at some of these notes, Christy,
we've dealt with it. So what's
we're
the
good.
Point?
Well, what's the point?
I will say about Marco Rubio.
Yeah.
I've heard him talk in other places, and I really believe he may actually be a Christian. So we're not saying that Marco Rubio is not a Christian. We're just saying
he is or he isn't.
We're not saying that he's not, is what I'm saying. Just be smart and listen to the issues and pull back the rhetoric.
Yeah, I mean, he's made contradictory statements. He says he's committed to the Roman Catholic faith because he believes the Roman Catholic doctrine, you know, that they put out. And yet then he's, you know, visited an evangelical church and
that.
He talks like an evangelical. So you ask some pastors, like in the SBC, and they're saying, oh, yeah, he's a Christian. We need to support
mm-hmm.
him. And others are saying, are you kidding me? There's no way this guy's a Christian. He's, you know. So, again, I haven't done the research, so, I'm not commenting. But you know what? I will. I will do the research. And then I'll give an opinion. How about that?
Right. The only values we should want in a candidate is a commitment to protect our liberty.
Yes! You said it. I'm going to leave it there.
All right.
Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.